15rounds.com here with former junior middleweight champion Sergio Mora. Sergio, we just announced that you'll have a big fight coming up against Sugar Shane Mosley on the 18th of September. How did it feel to get a fight with a big star like that?
Well, that's the reason I signed with Golden Boy. You know, I've been a professional almost 10 years, and I've never really been with a legitimate promoter. I went 11-0 without no promoter by myself, and I signed out with a contender. And when you sign out on a TV show, you sign for your life. So the next 5 years, I was tied down to them, but they kept me inactive. Golden Boy came about, and I think they've done what they said they were going to do, which is getting back into ASAP under big cards, and then try to get me that big spotlight fight as soon as possible, and they came through.
Now, quite honestly, you were a middleweight your whole career. You moved down to 54 for a title shot against Vernon Forrest, which you won before later being defeated by him. Originally, they said that you were not going to be able to fight Mosley at 54 due to the weight. It didn't seem he was willing to go up to 56. Did you realize that you would be able to make the weight comfortably with a long enough training camp, or was it honestly perhaps the money that lured you into that, being that it's going to be a pay-per-view main event?
No, not at all. I know I can make that weight. It's given 10 weeks. When I signed out with Golden Boy back in January, I told them if any junior middleweight fights come about where it's worth taking, we're taking that risk, and given enough time, given 10 weeks, as long as I bring in my strength conditioner, my nutritionist, Robert Ferguson, who used to work with Fernando Vargas, I can make that weight comfortably like I did the first time. It's the second time with Vernon where you know, they only gave me 5 weeks to prepare for that fight. And, you know, I was still in celebratory mode, you know, being the champ and, you know, lifelong dream come true. And all of a sudden I get a call when I'm in Vegas, you know, for the Cotto Margarito fight, saying I got to defend my title in 5 weeks. So they caught me off guard, and, you know, that's what happens.
Right. Those fights going to take place in L.A. Last time Mosley had a big fight there was against Oscar De La Hoya, another California-based Mexican fighter. A lot of people look at this as perhaps your time to shine, being that some say Mosley is on the downside, especially after what we did not see out of him in those last 10 rounds against Floyd Mayweather. Do you feel the pressure is perhaps on you?
The pressure is on me. It's been on me, I think. I think destiny works in funny ways, man. When I won the title in 2008, I said to myself, I go, this is it. This is finally my time. You know, after everything that I went through, I thank God I won the contender, but I still wanted that title. I won the title. And then I said, oh, man, I'm gonna reign on the top forever. You know, as long as possible, I'm a hard worker. I know all my talents. But, you know, I got caught off guard, and that will never happen again. And now going into Shane Mosley, I really feel this is even a bigger fight because, you know, God rest Vernon Forrest's soul, but he wasn't a very big draw and a big name. You know, he was a champion, but he wasn't that pound-for-pound, you know, king like Shane Mosley's been for years. So it's both our hometowns. He packed in that house 20,000 deep when he fought Margarito. You know, I fought there and I packed in a little over 10,000. So I feel two hometown guys that bring speed and a lot of guts and determination and the will to win every time is gonna make for a great night of fighting. And Mosley does really, really great against Latin fighters. I believe he's like 4-0 with Latin fighters, you know. So, you know, I got to go in there and stop that streak. And as you said, also, it's going to be the 10-year anniversary with Oscar fighting him at the Staples Center September 18th. So maybe I can take the place of the Golden Boy there, you know. It took a while, but finally, you know, the East LA, you know, kid's back.
Right. You've had some ups and downs in your careers. You know, obviously the biggest part of your career was winning that title from the late Vernon Forrest. You also fought to a draw, which some people thought you lost against Elvin Ayala. Elvin Ayala was recently stretched in one round by a fighter that many people feel is an up-and-coming prospect. Are you going to be doing anything differently to ensure that you're at your absolute best, especially considering this is the best opponent of your entire career?
Yeah, you know, it's just all experience. You don't really learn all this unless you go through it. When it came to the Elvin Ayala fight, I was really physically prepared to fight anybody. I had a long camp, but I wasn't mentally prepared for him because I was getting ready to fight Kasim Uma, who is an aggressive southpaw on a big card, you know, an MGM, and it was going to be an HBO pay-per-view. And then when that fight got scratched due to Marquez Henry's injury, they gave me a slippery orthodox fighter in Ayala, who was an unknown, but he's a good fighter. So obviously that was like the opportunity of a lifetime for him, and it was a letdown for me, and it showed in that fight. You know, I really still think I pulled it off with points, but it was too close to call, and I didn't want to be in that position, and that will never happen again. The weight's not going to happen again because I lost my title due to that, and me being off guard due to not mentally being ready for an unknown is not going to happen again. I promise you that.
What are you expecting from Shane Mosley? As mentioned, you did before, he looked great against Margarito, absolutely destroyed him. Had that one moment against Mayweather, but was unable to capitalize on it and kind of lumbered around for 10 rounds, making some people wonder if he should, you know, really continue from this point on. Are you expecting the best Shane Mosley, or do you think that perhaps this could be a fight where you can completely jump on him and just take control, being that he might not be at his best anymore?
And I hope and pray it's the latter. But I'll be honest with you, man. When a guy's been in the pound-for-pound rankings for over 10 years, you don't take a guy like that lightly. I mean, that's Shane Mosley we're talking about. Him and Bernard Hopkins, maybe Roy Jones, the best fighter of my era. And the bottom line is, these guys always have one last great fight in them, in case he's just going in that direction. But then again, you can't really criticize what he did, because who he fought was Mayweather. Mayweather makes everyone look bad.
Right.
So he fought the best fighter in the world and got shut out. That's nothing to really take away from Shane.
You won the first season of The Contender, a show that I liked. Unfortunately, that show did not do very well. On the other side of the spectrum, you have Mixed Martial Arts Show, The Ultimate Fighter, which does extremely well and has been strong for, I believe, 11 seasons and got the best ratings last year when they had on the famous Street Fighter Kimbo Slice. Why do you think The Ultimate Fighter has succeeded where The Contender failed?
Oh, that's an easy question. They're not on network television. Their show doesn't cost $2 million an episode to produce. And time slots on television is key. Our first season of The Contender, even though it wasn't what they expected, it was still a monster rating, you know, for my finale at 11 million. You know, the UFC gets lucky if they get, you know, 1.5 on their finale, 1.5 million. So it's just two different audiences. I think their show is not expensive to put on. They don't have Sylvester Stallone and Sugar Ray Leonard to really, you know, have to pay, you know, and they pay these guys absolutely nothing, even for the finale. So, and it's Spike TV, it's cable television. So I just think it's apples and oranges. You know, if a Contender would have came out on ESPN the first season, they would have done monster ratings. Even the second and third season, which were on ESPN, did more than a million per episode. But that wasn't enough for the money it takes to produce that show. So it's just two different shows.
Right. Now, when you won that first season of The Contender, you know, a lot of people were talking about it. You were an unknown fighter at the time. You came out of East L.A., were perhaps a little bit of an underdog on the show. There were some more seasoned veterans at the time, such as Issei Smith, amongst other guys. What did you expect winning The Contender to do? I mean, it did take you a while to get to that title shot, and a lot of people, not just you, with the company, did complain about the tournament of Contender as a promoter, and they are now defunct. But what did you think it would do for you at that time?
The Contender did exactly what I imagined and thought it would do, plus more, times 10. I thought, you know, maybe it was gonna open a couple doors, and you know, I never expected to win $1 million. I thought I was, you know, if I would have gotten to third or fourth place, I still would have been into the six figures. So I said, you know what, all I got to do is go in fourth place, and I'm gonna win $100,000-$200,000. But the mass audience that show reached is unbelievable. I mean, to this day, I still get, you know, male fan mail from like Thailand and the Philippines and Australia and New Zealand. I mean, that show got shown around the world, so you know, it exceeded my expectations, and obviously it made my dream come true of my mom stop work, you know, and I bought a house for her. My family lives extremely well. I was able to buy a home in Vegas, a home in LA. It just changed my life, and people got to know the Land Snake was around the world at least one time, you know, and that's something that a lot of fighters, you know, never get to experience, even world champions, you know. So I got my name got around the world because of a TV show, and it changed my life.
If you come out victorious September 18th, which will definitely be the biggest victory of your career, on the biggest stage of your career, being that you are a pay-per-view main event against a former elite fighter, where will you go from here? Are you going to look in 154-pound division, or are you going to look in 160-pound division for the biggest fight possible?
Well, I'm gonna do exactly what Sergio Martinez is doing, and I'm kind of a little bitter the fact that he got the chance to beat Kelly Pavlik instead of me, because I mean Kelly Pavlik was just ready and primed to get beat by a boxer, and that's why I was so upset when you know, those two fights that I had with him got pulled out, and Martinez did his thing. So, you know, he's reigning at middleweight, and he's a champion at junior middleweight. So I win this fight. If the junior middleweight champions want to call out, you know, if I can get a chance at them, I'll beat them. And if not, I'll go up to middleweight and challenge the best there, Felix Sturm, Sergio Martinez, Sylvester, whoever it is. I'm just looking to become champion in one of those divisions and take care of business.
Now, a lot of guys in your situation who are now have a big record and are going into a pay-per-view main event or at least a title fight had a promoter from the start. You know, they were moved the right way. They were put on big cards. They had a lot of financial backing. Tell us what it was like early in your career to keep your unbeaten record, not have a promoter, and eventually move up now where you're with Golden Boy, who is the biggest or second biggest promotional company in the world, coming into your first pay-per-view main event.
Unbelievable, and it's that's what keeps me hungry. See, that's exactly where I think a lot of fighters go wrong. A lot of fighters get a lot of amateur experience and win a lot of national tournaments and get burned out, sign with that big promoter, get that chunky payday, and then don't amount to nothing because they're burned out from the amateurs or they get a little bit of money and go crazy. I think staying hungry, doing it the Marvin Hagler route, that's what I call it, you know, where you don't have the managers, you don't have the promoter, you don't have the money, you just get in shape and stay undefeated and beat the best. And then finally, you'll get your chance because, you know, destiny works that way. And for me, I went 11-0 without anybody's help, just these little ballroom shows and me and my trainer and my team just getting fights. Contender came about, and after the Contender, I signed with Golden Boy, where everyone wanted to basically work with me, from Goosen to Gary Shaw, Top Rank, to Golden Boy. And I chose Golden Boy because they're L.A.-based, they're Latin-based, they're the muscle behind all the HBO shows, and they really don't have that great big star now that Oscar's gone. So there's a lot of room for me to move around there, and it's going to start September 18th.
What is your game plan to beat Shane Mosley on September 18th? As you said, he's had a lot of success against Latin fighters, even though you are different than some of his other recent victories over Latin fighters such as Ricardo Mayorga and Antonio Margarito.
He's beating guys with speed. He's beating guys with power. He's beating guys with guts. You know, Vargas probably had the power. Mayorga had the guts. De La Hoya had the speed. Margarito had the power and the guts. But he's never, ever, ever faced a guy with skill, defense, and guts. If you really put that all together, the closest that he got to that was Oscar those two times, and Oscar came up short both times. So I really feel that, you know, to beat someone like Shane, you can't let him hit you with those bombs, obviously, because he's a hard puncher. And you gotta outwit him. You gotta come with a strategy. You know, you gotta be the banger and you gotta be the boxer. You gotta mix it in there, and that's something I plan on doing. You know, I'm gonna have the reach and the height advantage. Maybe the strength advantage, but right now I'm concentrating on having a great camp, making the weight, you know, appropriately, and coming and packing that house and showing that, you know, Latin fighters are back, man, because Mosley's been taking care of business in the West Coast with the LA fighters, so we're gonna have to change that.
Sergio Latin Snake Moore, former junior middleweight world champion, winner of the first season Contender. Anything in closing?
Well, I just want to give a shout-out to all my fans, the snakepitsurgeonmore.net, and my good friend Napo from L.A. So that's about it, man, and thanks for all the support. It's going to be a wonderful night, September 18th. And I'll tell you one thing, man, one of us is going out on our shield because it's going to be a big night. Shane has a lot to prove, and it's my time, and I got a lot to prove. So it's going to be great.